Moncrief on News Talk.
Barbara and Declan join us once again.
Blah, blah, blah.
A huge ray of sunshine in our lives.
Here we are.
Here's what today.
I know. It's like, hello, March. Yeah. What's going on?
There's a sudden drop in temperature.
It was, yeah.
Making people a bit crazy on the streets.
I wish Met Aaron would warn you about that. You know,
I think Met Aaron are liars.
But they are liars. Suddenly going to get
they
cold.
Are. They're just, and they just put up random stuff on their website, which I look at every day. Anyway, over the past few years, I've noticed my husband spending a lot more time on his phone. At first, I thought maybe he was seeing someone else, but that didn't really make sense. Even though he was glued to his phone, our relationship was actually getting better. He was putting in more effort with me, showing interest in my hobbies, booking surprise trips, and overall, he has become more supportive than ever. God, he's definitely having an affair. Last week, I finally asked him what brought on the change and why he was on his phone more. He admitted he wanted to tell me for a while, but didn't have the guts. He said that during a month when we were apart for work last year, he downloaded an app for lonely people. The app had an AI companion he could chat with. What started out as curiosity turned into real feelings for his now AI girlfriend. Surprisingly, she's been helping him through personal stuff and even giving advice on our relationship. She's been encouraging him to open up to me about her. Now I'm in a situation I never thought I'd be in. Should I be okay with my husband having an AI girlfriend? And even crazier, because of the improvement in our relationship, I find myself wondering, should we consider becoming a thruple? Me, my husband, and his new digital darling.
I want this app. I want it now.
But that's a real thing. You can, you can, and people do have relationships with these things.
Sherwood to have this app because that's great. He's booking surprise weekends away and taking an interest in her stuff.
In her hobbies,
I think that's fantastic. This is one of the most positive uses of AI I've ever heard. Encouraging men to talk about their emotions and their feelings
in fairness
and their relationships.
That's
and
never
stuff.
Catch on.
I think that's just wonderful. But to address this presumably woman's problem is that this isn't a girlfriend. Like, it's not even a she. It's a computer application. It's a load of code. And I mean, if he has real feelings for her, that's just daft. Like, she doesn't exist. Mm. She isn't real. So he can have all the feelings he wants, but he's not going to be able to do anything with them. The advice I would give this woman is stay out of this relationship, in inverted commas. Don't try and get yourself involved in this.
Yeah.
This is working for him and you're getting the benefit of it. So I'd stay well the hell away from it and just enjoy the benefits. I mean, the computer's acting as a kind of a free counsellor rather than a girlfriend. So, you know.
Yeah,
Now,
I did interview some guy a few months back who had downloaded one of these apps, and you can kind of have it in friend mode or girlfriend mode or, you know, different kind of things.
But you're still only talking.
I know, but hear me out.
Excuse me.
His point seemed to be that when it's in girlfriend mode, it's a man's vision of what a woman should be. So there's a lot of hair twirling and, oh, you're right, darling, and taking his side. In a lot of things, which maybe might skew his view of the world. Yeah, now it's having a positive effect at the moment. But, you know,
Sean, you're just after pouring a whole lot of cold water on what I thought was just wonderful.
Yeah, no, I'd be worried about it.
I do think that look, all tools and technologies can be kind of misused, or you know,
can't be just.
Barbara, don't go there just yet. It was only a few minutes in. Look, basically what AI is it's an accumulation of information and opinion and culture just put online or some way that the program can access that. And yeah, it might have a voice. It might have even a face. It doesn't have a body. Yeah. So it's a kind of a disembodied thing. So I would be going, calling it, you know,
a
like
girlfriend.
Kind of a relationship is a bit kind of...
Do you agree with Sean, though, that it could all go pear-shaped?
Like, I think the way in which I do and I don't, for the reason that I was trying to get you there, is that I think all tools have the potential of being misused, but humanity has a tendency to misuse every tool that we create anyway.
Yeah.
You know, the internet was meant to be this amazing source for commerce and knowledge, and basically it's for porn. And, you know, AI, I mean, yes, of course, there's going to be people kind of, how can we use this to turn it towards, you know, the more sexual side of stuff? However, like you pointed out already, this is like the guys, this is an app for lonely people.
Yeah.
but the guy used and found beneficial, and it's had positive consequences for his relationship. So regardless of whether the outside external source that the partner has used is an app online or a psychotherapist in an office or the Bible or whatever it is that people have used, or tarot cards or whatever people use going back, you know, for centuries, what people use to kind of get insight or to help them process problems or dilemmas or whatever, that's all, if it has a positive income outcome, I'm happy with that.
See, when I thought about this earlier, I thought, yeah, this is all nice, this is great, this is good, there's no damage can be done here, it's not real, it's only a thing. But now, with what you've said about being able to turn it from friend mode into girlfriend mode, and then it starts becoming this kind of not very real woman doing, as you say, living out men's fantasy woman thing, then I'm wondering, is that what's going on?
And she just hasn't told us that. Before you get on your feminist horse here.
She's always on his side. She will never say you're talking
about
your arse
here. No, but it's just the last line of this, should we become a truple, me, my husband, and this new digital darling. What does she mean by that? Does she mean, is there something sexual going on? Like that he's having
I don't think you can actually.
No, but he's having
literally
phone.
Would be phone sex.
But if, that's what I mean. I wonder, is that what's happening?
But people are using it for that. And people are using it in that way. And I saw something online where there was this gay guy and he was kind of programming. Because what you do is you tell the AI voice what way you want them to speak to you. And you can get them, therefore, to kind of... This guy was calling it flirting. But it was relatively benign because all this thing was doing was, you know, who's your daddy, kind of this thing. And, it, you know, it's who's like, whatever. I mean, it isn't. It was
kind of... Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
Hi, this is genealogy.com. I can tell you, I'm your daddy. No, I still think that there's a big chasm between something stupid happening with a game or a program or the portal on North Earth Street and some kind of social chaos. And, you know, there's a gap between what, you know, clutching your pearls because the computer is going, I love you, big boy. What would you like? You know, that's like, that was pretty good, actually.
But you see, she's not.
But say if there was a real live woman in his life who never laid a finger on him, but said, I love you, big boy, on a regular basis. How, you know, is that different?
Yes, it is, because that he could change that into, if she's a real live woman,
I'm talking like, this is a theoretical woman, she's never laid a finger on him, she doesn't have hands. I don't know why I've come up with that, so she... but you see, if she was a pen pal and lived in some in a prison, you know? And was sending him, I can't really. Because it's digital, we're kind of downplaying it. But if he's invested his emotions in it to some degree or another, it doesn't matter if
but
it's digital or
it
human.
It can't go anywhere. It
but you're using writing as the only criteria for cheating.
Yes, I understand that point. But however, I think it's not.
And
you're talking about emotional cheating then, really. And
people do that every day of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's doing a lot of this time, and she's probably giving something that his wife isn't giving him, which is complete compliance at all times.
But what about somebody who has somebody in the office they work in who they fancy and fancies them back? Now, they're never good. They're both in relationships, so they're never actually going to do anything.
Yes,
but they have become very friendly and very, you know, they share a lot. I mean, that kind of stuff happens.
Oh,
like,
no, that does
time.
Happen. But there are natural restraints on that, or the people put their own restraints on that. In this instance, he can be completely unrestrained because it's only...
The physicality can't
except
happen.
Except no physicality, obviously.
Well, then
yeah.
I think we're good to go.
Yeah, because that's the whole point. This is a disembodied computer program that's taking information from the internet, basically, and answering your questions or speaking to you in a way that you want them to speak to you, or even just listening to you in a non-judgmental way and maybe possibly helping you work through ideas and thoughts or whatever, or even talking dirty to you when nobody else is in the room. All of those aspects exist already. This is not something that's radically going to change the face of humanity. Now, if you start adding on bodies and flesh and kind of, you know, robots, you know, that starts to get into a different kind of aspect. But we're not there yet. We're talking about somebody confiding in or sharing their thoughts with somebody else who's not the person they're having a close, intimate relationship with, and possibly getting advice. We all do that already. Some of us pay money
safer
to do
because,
that.
I mean, you know, it's not going to go anywhere. If
the data is all controlled by some American company who probably knows you better than you know yourself.
Until it all gets hacked up, it all gets put up online with the demand for millions of dollars.
He should be having the discussions with his wife, says one texter. He is married. Why is he on a lonely person's app? That's a red flag. He was clearly unhappy to download it in the first place. Now, she said the context was he was away for a month. He sounds like he's spending a lot of time on his phone. That's unhealthy. Human interaction is really important. How do we know the computer is saying, how do we know the computer isn't saying, I love you?
Which is so much of it is.
Well, he might be saying, I love you back.
That's fine.
If my husband spent that much time on his phone,
I'd tell
you. You can make the computer say I love you, but just say I love you, Siri. I love you, Declan.
Exactly.
Whatever. Get over yourself.
She would be better looking at their relationship. Why does he need to look elsewhere for attention? Somebody else says, emotional cheating is worse than physical cheating. That's what he's doing. He's totally cheating on his wife. He's having an emotional affair with the AI woman. Why does it have to be a woman's voice on the AI? Why can't it be a man's voice? You can probably have it any voice you like, you know.
Women can go on it.
If he's not really cheating, he'll have no problem in changing it for the wife, says Michelle. And somebody else has just texted in cost of this. As in, do you want to know how much
it
costs?
Is it a free app?
I think
it
probably pays something.
We haven't really given this woman any advice.
No, we haven't. No, because we can't really decide what it is.
Oh, I think it's grand. I'm sticking to my guns.
The technology, you can't put that back into the bag now that it's invented. I mean, it is, and it's like, it's going to be there as a thing. I think fundamentally, it's about what people's relationships are. Like, if I'm in a relationship with somebody else, we define what our idea of commitment is and our idea of monogamy or whatever it is that we want to do is. It's not for somebody, you know, phoning into a you know, radio show to say, you're cheating on it, because it's not. Unless the letter writer didn't at any stage express the concern that they were that they were like that. Well, maybe they did actually.
She says at the end about the thruple thing. Does that that could mean, should I download it onto my phone?
I think she should leave alone.
Weird Alexa is going, you know, Bob, your husband would love it if you did this, you know?
No, don't go there. Leave it alone. It's like, just enjoy the benefit.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And if you're not happy with the outcome, then, you know, then have a word. But I think,
I'm happily married with children, one of which celebrated his birthday last Saturday with a party for him at our house. My wife invited three of her friends. I had no one to invite. I just realised I've couple friends, but no real friends of my own. Oh. I moved to Dublin 30 years ago, and now I feel what I'd suspected for many years. I'm friendless. God.
Oh, I think that's not common, but I think very often men.
You can get kind of suddenly lonely, and you know,
I think
you don't
realize what
you've
very
done.
Conscious from a very early age of the importance of having female friends, because we live in a patriarchy, so we need the female friend thing going on.
That's true. You've your patriarchy to enjoy.
Yes, exactly.
When you're feeling alone.
Yeah.
Anyway, a more serious topic. We'll move on to. I'm about to explode with anger. So can you please tell me what to do? I have a pen that I always use in work. It's not a special one. It's just the one I found in a stationery drawer a few months back. And I just love it. I love the pen because it writes so well and my finger doesn't cramp too much when I use it. I work in an open plan office, and like most other offices, when it comes to using stationery, we share staplers, pens, etc. Last week, a colleague of mine ran over to my desk in a hurry as she was about to head into a meeting. She asked me, could she borrow a pen? And of course, I said yes. She proceeded to pick up the good pen off my desk and ran away with it. She was in that meeting for the rest of the day, so I didn't see her in order to get it back. When I came into the office the next day, my pen wasn't on my desk. A few hours later, I saw my colleague using my pen in a meeting. And since that interaction, I've seen her use it a few more times. In fact, she had it clipped onto her lanyard at lunch yesterday.
The audacity.
I want my pen back. No other pen writes the same, but I feel I look pretty bad if I ask her. At the end of the day, it's just a pen and I like it. Can I ask her for it back, or do we look like a loser?
You're a loser.
Your pen can be tough, can't it? It really can. Yeah. You never know, like,
I know this is a seemingly
through.
Minor thing. But I understand that. I really do.
Her pen is cheating on her with somebody else.
That's what it is.
Like, it's outrageous.
Yeah, well, the poor pen has no, you know, agency here.
Well, you don't know. I agree with you, though. I do get, like, kind of involved with my pens for, you know, I like pens. My hands do cramp if my pen's not right.
Holy God.
Yeah. So no, I would be a territorial
about
a pen.
If a pen has the right weight and the right ink flow.
And it's really
it's pleasurable to write with. And
are you guys all right, yeah?
It's a true thing.
I work with people who do forms and stuff, you know, when I'm working on the various shows, and people who are marking down notes and stuff fight over the pens, because some people grab the pen and it's the person's good pen because they like the way that it writes. And it's not that it's, you know, it's not like it's a silver-plated pen that their granny gave them for their Holy Communion. This is just, like, it's just the kind of pen.
That works really well.
And this is quite common. People go mental about this kind
of
stuff.
We did a stationary slot on this show many years ago with someone who now works in RTE.
I remember that slot.
We were swamped through the reaction. People really like pens. Other people don't care about pens because they're dead inside.
And I think this is what's happening here.
Okay. Because they're dead inside.
And the woman who has the pen stuck onto her lanyard has either consciously realised, oh my God, this is one of the good ones, I'm going to keep this with me at all times, hence it's clipped onto her lanyard, or accidentally has, with her dead inside way of handling the universe, has accidentally kind of occupied and stolen the pen which belongs to somebody else. I think the person's mistake was not actually going over and saying, you might think this is crazy, but I want my good pen back.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
I don't know. I read this first and my first reaction was, oh, for God's sake, it's a bloody pen. Like, you know, get over yourself. As you said, it's not the pen your granny gave you. It's not a silver plated, very expensive pen. It's a pen you found in the stationery cupboard. It's a commoner gardener pen, of which there are 500,000. And then I thought about it for a minute and I thought, maybe this person isn't altogether well. But now, having spoken to both of you, I'm kind of
you're the one that's not well.
Who's not well?
You're not well.
So I thought, you know, I get that this was her pet pen and that she loved it and it made her write nice. I have experienced that as well. But not to the extent that if it disappeared and not, you know, that somebody just borrowed it and then never gave it back, that I'd be really upset about it. I agree with you. I think she can ask for it back if she makes a joke out of it. Like, that was my pet pen. It was my favourite pen in the whole world. And so could I have it back, please? And make a joke out of it. But the other thing I was going to say to her, and I would say it to you two saddos as well.
Yeah.
Calling me dead inside. You need to go out and do some research and find what is the pen that you really like and then buy a few of them so that you'll have them.
With our own money?
Yeah.
You're mad.
You're crazy.
100% about the pen, says Paul. I use my dad's pen. He's dead 3 years. I mislaid it for a few days and had a meltdown.
And that's different.
And that's true.
That's different.
OMG, says another texter, have never related to a question more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah. I think part of it
is it
though,
a male thing?
No.
No. No, absolutely not. John says, about 10 years ago, I switched to pencils. Much easier to write with. A good pencil flows in the page much more easily than any pen.
But you can't use it to
this
sign documents,
school,
and you can't.
Does it?
Yeah. Yeah, but you know the way in school, you'd be there'd be, you know, and I went to a boys' school. There'd be like some guys didn't even have
a
pen.
Did you go to a boys' school?
I did. I could have gone to I could have gone to a mixed school, Barbara.
There weren't that many back in the day. We all know how old you are. Go on.
Barbara, I'm going to get a pen out. I'm going to write your face.
Somebody says steal it back. That's one pretty simple solution. Photograph the pen with the Amazon app and get new ones.
Yeah.
I'd go to HR and make them fire her. Don't steal pens. Get the pen person to tell her co-worker that the pen was a gift from her dead grandmother and has some of her dead grandfather's ashes in it. That's a pretty
elaborate
story. I mean, obviously you could go to stationery cupboard or whatever, or the room.
Test drive a whole lot of pens and nick all the ones you like and put them in your bottom drawer and there you go. Then you won't be getting upset over stupid stuff.
Yeah. Somebody sent in a picture of their pen.
Did they?
She has to steal that pen back. This is my favourite pen and I will slay anyone who takes it away. When someone takes my pen, I always ask for it back and say, that's the way I got it, always works.
Is your pen there on the desk now? Is that some kind of pet pen now?
It's one of my pet pens.
It looks like a good pen.
It's a good pen, yeah.
Right.
It's not like a massively expensive pen.
Is it a ballpoint? And is it like...
No, it's a rollerball.
Yeah, you see, I like those too. Because I think if you write with a certain amount of pressure, that's the best kind of pen. Whereas other people don't...
How do you know whether it's a roller... Oh, never mind.
Because we're experts.
Like cars. Yeah, this is like cars. Yeah. It's stupid.
It have the Papermank Int Joy pens disposable. However, really like them. Ordered a box recently with 100 pens and in my 50s should see me out.
Great.
Bringing one to the Sugar Club tomorrow, says Owen.
Excellent. Oh, we're going to rob it.
A pen. And Owen can show you his pen tomorrow.
He can bring us one each.
And you can meet Owen, who is a real emotional life.
Yes.
And see what those people are like.
See, and see, maybe.
Can't stop laughing, the pen. I want to know if he gets it back. So do I. So, but you know, the thing is, I think they should just go and ask for it back, because they're too anxious about the fact that the person who stole the pen will think, God, you're weird. And they will. But there are so many other people who completely relate to this scenario.
Yeah, but the thing is, you'll make the person who borrowed, in inverted commas, the pen and hasn't given it back feel really bad if they don't have this kind of emotional connection with the pen. They may have left it somewhere or given it to somebody else.
I think you're inserting yourself into this problem a little bit too much there, Barbara.
No, they're wearing it on their lanyard like a Aussie.
Yeah, they wore it once on their lanyard.
Yeah. These are the spoils of my
thievery.
Throwing
it in their face.
It's outrageous. Yeah.
Martin, I think it's
it is outrageous.
That's the most ridiculous
thing. I think the problem is if this person left it too long, they're now, because now they're just seething.
Seething.
Yeah. Seething. No, she should ask for back, because if she doesn't, it could escalate and God knows what.
The pen is going to run out someday. She doesn't know that, does she?
Well, she can get a refill.
Then go and get the refill now and stop faffing around over
people who borrow a pen
stuff.
Piss me off. If you work in an office, you should have your own pen. That's a good point.
Yeah, it's a lack of respect.
You wouldn't go up to a carpenter and say, you know, can I borrow your saw, and then just never give it back?
No, but how much is a saw worth, and how much is a pen worth? That's why
a pen can be worth more than the saw.
Yeah, but no,
a pen can be mightier than the saw. Papermate gel pens are amazing. Yes, they are. They have a lovely flow. Yeah.
I'm Do you prefer a blue pen or a black pen? I find blue pens
better. I like to mix it up.
Do you?
Yeah. I'm black at the moment, but you know.
Yeah, I like the blue pen that are a bit inky. Yeah.
When I was younger, I'd kind of have a green pen, but then I realised that made me seem kind of crazy. Because I often get letters written in green pen. God, they're not from sound-minded people.
Do you remember the pen you used to have with all the different colours around it? Yes. You could have it red or green or blue or black.
Yeah.
But they were too thick to hold.
No, they're awful.
See, I work with a man who does a lot of photography at conferences. Of a pen.
Did you get that pen from Peter's
Freebie.
Pub?
Freebie. What?
Did you get that pen from Peter's Pub?
No. Is that where you left it?
No. Yeah.
14 years ago.
Still going strong. I'm recently retired, recently divorced, and recently enjoying my life for the first time. I'm loving the freedom I have. Can't say that I've ever felt happier. I have a home to myself, which is calm, clean, and just totally me. But my adult son, in his late 30s, has asked can he move in with his rescue dog. There is no time frame, which is what I'm most anxious about. I told him he should be responsible for his own lot, that I've already looked after other people all my life, and now I want to be carefree and enjoy these golden years. He said he'd end up homeless unless I helped him out, but come on, he's nearly 40 and should be able to look after himself and his rescue dog. He shouldn't have gotten the dog if he couldn't provide for it. That's my stance, but he's saying I'm heartless and we should be looking after each other. But I've already looked after him until he was 18. What would you do?
Oh, God. first of all, good for him that he can say that he looked after his son until he was 18. He got out of looking after his son fairly early on.
You were lucky,
You were very lucky if you managed to get out of that at 18. And look, I know...
Why do you think it's a man who's writing this letter in? Just as a matter of interest.
I just think it is.
Okay. I thought you would say that.
Yeah, no, I just think it is. I'm psychic. I think it's a man. And look, I know all about the freedom that you get as you get older and the deliciousness of that and the being your own boss and having your house I don't really know about this, but I can imagine about having your house if you're the only person in it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't get dirty and nobody moves things around and leaves things around and all of that. And you're totally in control of your own life and it's all wonderful. And I get that. And you have the peace and the quiet and everything else. But this is your son. Unfortunately, I believe there are responsibilities that actually never really leave you, no matter how old your kids are. And especially against the background of a housing disaster, as I think our president called it recently in this country. Like, if housing and, you know, being able to rent a place was easily affordable and available, then I would say perhaps tell your son, look, you know, lad, you got to move on and, you know, get a job and whatever. But it doesn't sound like that. He could have a job. He could have a well-paid job. And he could still not have anywhere to live. So therefore, I think, yes, if you're asking me straight up, I think absolutely you should ask your son back. I know it's going to disturb your nicely curated, peaceful world. Obviously, I'm totally biased when it comes to the dog situation. I love animals. And I think, you know, see, sometimes I think when people get older, they become closed down to new things. And I think that, you know, if you've never had an animal before, maybe give this a chance. Now, having said that, I think you should put your own rules around everything. You know, if the son and the dog are coming,
you know, you're fully entitled to make rules about where he's allowed to go, where he's not allowed to go, where's the dog allowed to go, all of that kind of stuff. But if your son is facing homelessness, if he doesn't come to live with you, well, then I think, you know, he has to, you have to let the son come to live with you. That is my opinion, which is probably wrong, considering all my opinions so far today have been vetoed.
There's no such thing
and
as
shot
a
down
wrong
in flames.
Yeah. There's no such
well,
thing.
We'd probably need more details, but what I was getting from this, it seems to be the dog is the issue.
I think it's the son as well.
Yeah. It feels a bit tongue in cheek, though. This kind of this letter feels like this person's kind of resigned to the kind of the responsibility of allowing the quite old son to come back into the house, but it's kind of going, God's sake, this is ridiculous. And a stupid dog as well. You know, look after yourself. I'm sick looking after people. But the reality of it is, I agree with you to an extent. I do think, though, that there's this weird idea that we have that you raise your kids and then you push them out of the nest.
Doesn't
and
happen.
No, but it's also stupid because it's like it ignores the kids' existence in the world at large. Yeah. It's really, it's kind of... It's little bitty units of families that have no impact on society at large. And I go, no, that's not right. You, your two little kids in the back of the car and your big SUV are driving around in the world. And the world, it's the same world where there's a housing crisis. It's the same world where there's a war in Gaza. It's the same world where we've got climate change problems and all these kind of things. And everything kind of bashes into each other and creates the environment that your kids are going to end up living in. And that you're going to be living in as an older person when you're going to want your kids to come back around and help you, you know, when you're an older person. So I think, you know, you can't just go, all right, do my job there. Bye bye. See you later. Make it in the big world yourself.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And also, I think even in a perfect world, if there wasn't wars, if there wasn't a housing crisis, if there wasn't anything and you're sitting pretty in your house and your kids are all gone and they're all independent and they're all looking after themselves and you're having a lovely time in your later years and it's all nice and quiet and peaceful, exactly the way you want it. Anything can happen out of the blue that can change circumstances and mean you have to revise that. So all the years that you have enjoying yourself, doing whatever you want, that's great. But, you know, there can be a myriad of things that suddenly happen where you go, I have to take up responsibility and I have to now do something that I didn't anticipate I was going to have to do. But there you go. That's life.
Yeah. OK, well, I can tell you, as far as the listeners are concerned, no one cares. They only care about pens.
Yes.
Joe says, I had a lucky pen in work that made a nice noise when clicking. My company uses company branded pens. One day someone took my pen and ever since then, I pick up any pen that I see to check the noise it makes. I feel that person's pain. If it was a Bic pen, she needs to get it back. What if it was one of the clicky ones? I'd go to war. Why would someone take her pen and say they're borrowing it? Borrowing presumes giving it back. The cheek and bad manners of people to take something that you own and say they're borrowing it and not give it back to you.
It came from the stationery cupboard. It wasn't like this man or woman whoever went into Brown Thomas and bought like some kind of massively exclusive designer pen.
Yeah,
it but came from the stationery cupboard.
But you form an emotional connection with it.
Michael says, it's not about the price tag. Yeah. It's about
that's
you
a song, isn't it?
Finding a connection with the object.
Yeah, Michael said, I would kill everyone in this city if someone messed with my fountain pen. And I did make
fountain pen.
Yeah, make the comparison with a carpenter. And someone texted in to say, I am a qualified carpenter. People borrow hammers and saws all the time. Now I work in an office. I have no pens. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much. We'll see you tomorrow.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.